At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. A public visitation is underway at this hour for fallen Dallas police officer Rogelio Santander. He was killed in a shooting during a confrontation with a suspected shoplifter. The visitation is until 9 o'clock at the Cathedral Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in downtown Dallas. A public funeral is scheduled for tomorrow morning at 11 at Lake Point Church in Rockwall. Another police officer and a store employee were injured during last week's shooting at a Home Depot store in Northeast Dallas. They are recovering. The state's largest grid operator expects to have record demand for electricity this summer and limited supplies of backup power. That's why the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, or ERCOT, says it might have to take action to prevent outages. More from Travis Bubinick with Houston Public Media.
There should be enough power to go around this summer. But if it gets super hot, if it's not quite breezy enough at wind farms, or if power plants go down, that could cause problems. ERCOT's Pete Warnkin says they do have ways to respond.
And that would start with fully utilizing available generation capacity, and then, if necessary, implementing demand management procedures, deploying contracted resources that provide emergency capacity, and requesting support from our neighboring grids.
ERCOT says the risk of outages is likely lower than it was about a month ago. That's because some power plants have increased their output, since they can make money responding to the scarcity.
That was Travis Bubinick reporting from Houston. Dozens of people associated with white supremacist gangs in North Texas have been arrested. They've been charged with drug trafficking and also a kidnapping that included using a hatchet to chop off the victim's finger. Federal authorities announced today that 57 people were charged. An indictment shows the defendants were members of the Aryan Brotherhood of Texas, Dirty White Boys, and other gangs. Prosecutors allege, starting in 2015, the group conspired to distribute methamphetamine in Texas. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is more than a Supreme Court justice. She's been made into a meme. Fans wear her face on T-shirts, and she's known by the nickname Notorious RBG. Julie Cohen and Betsy West directed a new documentary that looks at how Justice Ginsburg turned into a pop cultural icon. And today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with Cohen about Ginsburg's fight against gender discrimination.
Her basic history is widely unknown, even to some of her big millennial liberal fans. Like, they know about the Justice Now, they know about the dissents that she writes, but the work that she did in the 70s, basically creating a whole field of law that ultimately secured constitutional rights for men and women equally, like, that was largely her thing. She played as big a role in the women's rights movement, it's not an exaggeration to say, as Gloria Steinem did. She was in the courtrooms while Steinem was out on the streets. That's a revelation to a lot of people, even perhaps some of those who have RBG's face tattooed on their arms.
The documentary RBG opens in North Texas on May 11th. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. President Trump will be among the speakers Friday at the National Rifle Association Convention in Dallas. The city's preparing for protests Friday and Saturday. Among the protesters, students who want gun reform. Over the next several days, we're going to explore the ongoing national debate over guns, from gun rights to gun control. Tonight, the perspective from disability rights groups here in Texas. They've been asking their members how many people became disabled due to gun violence. The goal? To give the disability community a louder voice in the guns debate. Ashley Lopez with KUT in Austin reports.
About 25 years ago, Susan Nelson was having dinner at a friend's house.
He had a gun, and he had a right to have that gun. It was registered and everything.
There was also a young man there that night. He'd been thrown out of his parents' house and was unstable. He found the gun and confronted both Nelson and her friend. He said he was going to rob and then kill them. Nelson says he then shot her in the left shoulder.
I stood up to turn to run and was shot in the back of the head. And my friend was as well. And that's the last part I remember of the shooting. My friend died in flight to the hospital. And I awoke from a coma 2 weeks later.
She was 29 years old. And she had to start her life all over.
I was paralyzed. I could barely read and write. My vision was really bad. So I had to spend the next 7 months in therapy, relearning everything, and working really, really hard.
Her hard work paid off. Nelson can walk now. She's a writer and her vision is good, but she says she still lives with various disabilities.
It takes me longer to formulate my sentences because my brain doesn't work as fast to make The words come out of my mouth.
This experience hasn't changed Nelson's relationship with guns, though. Nelson grew up in Southeast Texas, surrounded by guns. She says she still thinks people who are responsible should be able to have them.
I'm not against guns. And I don't know that everyone who gets shot, it's going to turn them against guns.
And this is something disability rights groups in Texas are expecting as they survey their members. Bob Kafka is with Adaptive Texas, one of those groups. They sent a questionnaire to their members earlier this year asking how many of them became disabled due to gun violence. They want a head count so they can educate lawmakers and testify on gun legislation. Kafka says he's expecting to hear a range of perspectives on guns from the disability community because it's so big.
We have people on both sides of the issue. It's not like we're anti-guns, pro, you know, there's probably NRA members in the disability community.
In fact, he points out, Texas's very conservative and very pro-gun governor, Greg Abbott, is a member of that community. He has used a wheelchair since he was 26, after a tree fell on him while he was jogging after a storm. Kafka says we should hear from people who are disabled due to gun violence, mostly because we rarely do.
Not only do we not talk about it, it's invisible. You know, I mean, the media loves to focus on how many people died, you know, and then they have the sort of other injured, but I've never seen where they follow the rehab of somebody.
And the focus has also been on the victims of mass shootings, says Noam Ostrander with the School of Social Work at DePaul University in Chicago. Ostrander says a lot of people become disabled because of day-to-day gun violence in major cities. For many years, Ostrander worked with gang members in the west side of Chicago who became paralyzed after being shot.
The cost for that injury, and that often then becomes a public cost, is astronomical. And I think that that would be shocking to a lot of folks.
It's also easy to forget, Ostrander says, that about 3 to 5 times the number of people who die from gun violence actually survive. In Austin, I'm Ashley Lopez.
An additional note, the NRA has provided financial support to KERA. Texas is getting tough on chronically low-performing schools. The state education commissioner can shut down individual schools or even take over entire districts when schools receive the state's lowest accountability rating of improvement required for 5 straight years. We're going inside low-performing campuses across North Texas in a series called The Race to Save Failing Schools. Tomorrow morning, we'll explore life at Mitchell Boulevard Elementary. The Fort Worth school has been on the improvement required list for 3 years. KERA's Stella Chavez has a preview.
So Fort Worth ISD decided to turn 5 of its struggling schools, including Mitchell Boulevard, into what they're calling leadership academies. And the district is spending about $4.5 million on this plan. That includes a $1 million grant from the Rainwater Charitable Foundation. So they've been able to hire new staff, they've brought in new teachers, new principals, and they're paying them more to work at these schools. Students also get uniforms, and the school days are longer with after-school activities and tutoring. They're also trying to connect more with the parents. So, for example, before the school year began, they went door-to-door, knocking on doors to introduce themselves.
The KERA series, The Race to Save Failing Schools, continues tomorrow morning at 8:20 during Morning Edition. Learn more about Mitchell Boulevard and the other schools in the series at kera.org/savingschools. And North Texas is having one of its coolest Aprils ever. The National Weather Service says through yesterday, Dallas-Fort Worth has seen an average temperature of 61.3 degrees this month. That makes this April the 5th coolest on record. For the evening, mostly cloudy skies. Should be a slight chance for showers tonight with a low around 66. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. A 10% chance for rain with a high around 84. At 6:30, this is KERA News.